everyone is doing. Thank you so much. Hallelujah. And I meant to, I wanted to make this announcement. Y'all thought I was done. But Marcos and a few of the ministers here at the church, they're going to be preaching at a church, and I forget the name of the church. But for more information about that, just contact Marcos. And they're going up to help this church out, and they're going up there to preach a revival. And they want to see a move of God. And so let's keep them in our prayers, and let's pray for them as they go preach the word of God. And I believe Elijah's going up there, and Casey's going up there, Marcos, and a few others are going up there. So, and if you want to join them, that would be good too. And so, amen. How many's ready for the word? Amen. Just going to share a story with you. When I share this story with you out of the word of God, you're going to be like, wow, this was in the word. Yeah, it was. It was in the word of God. And I just want you to just stick with me here this morning. How many knows everyone deals with pain? We've all dealt with pain in our past. We've all dealt with pain, whatever it is that you may go through, emotional, physical, spiritual. Everyone in here, I'm looking at everyone in here this morning, all of us have dealt with pain. And some of us are still bleeding. Some of us are still hurting. Some of us are still hurt. And I just want to preach this morning a biblical view on how to overcome the pain of your past. How many has ever been held bondage by your past before? We've all have. The bad I've done, the wrong I've done, the sin I've done wrong. We have all been bound down by that. But I want to show you a story. I want to tell you a story found in 2 Samuel chapter 13. You don't have to go there, but I'm just going to sum it up here, this story. I want you to listen close to me. Y'all going to listen close? Okay, this is a story of Amnon, story of David. And Amnon was David's son, and David had a daughter named Tamar from a different woman, and they were half-siblings. Amnon forced himself upon Tamar against her will. She tore her sleeves and left her house, which signified her hurt and brokenness. Her full brother was Absalom, and Absalom took Tamar and comforted her in his home. And David found out about what happened, and he did nothing. And for 2 years after finding out about this, he did nothing. And Absalom waited for 2 years, but his hatred against his brother Amnon caused him to murder him. And he set up this feast where he drew Amnon away and then killed him, and Absalom fled to Geshur. And he lived there for 3 years, and after Absalom killed Amnon, David did nothing. There was never a trial or anything. There was no meeting. And finally, 5 years after this event, David does nothing. So 5 years after this event happens, there's nothing done. Nobody talks about it. Nobody opens up about it. It's like a problem that nobody wants to talk about, right? And so David doesn't talk about it. So Joab was a commander, and he was the commander of his armies, and he tricks David into bringing Absalom home. So I'm just going to stop right here. Okay, there's lying involved. There's misleading involved. Do you see all these sins and things? Listen, then we're talking about David here, who says nothing about what's going on. He's having a family crisis, and he's not having a meeting about it. He is not even talking up. He's not even opening up about it. He's not even being honest about it. He knows what's going on, but he's not saying anything. So finally, after 5 years, right? He sends a woman who is pretending to represent her two sons. One son killed the other son, and it's a story to get David to have mercy on Absalom. And it works. And David brings Absalom home to Jerusalem, but won't talk to him. For 2 more years, he doesn't talk. Absalom, who is David's son, y'all still with me this morning? Absalom, who is David's son, is frustrated because his father won't do anything or talk about it. Absalom gets upset and burns Joab's field. Joab is upset, and Absalom is wondering why Joab sent him home. So Joab sets up a meeting between David and Absalom. Absalom hates his father David, and he's very offended. And Absalom turns Israel against David, and David has to flee, and he was almost killed by his son Absalom. This story illustrates the deficiencies in David's parenting skills. David wasn't a good father. He loved his children, but when it came to dealing with his issues, with these issues, he did nothing. Here's a question here. Why was David such a bad father? Because he wouldn't deal with his pain. And that's the reason why they couldn't fix the family crisis, is because nobody was willing to talk about it. Nobody was willing to be honest and talk about these things. Every person, I want y'all to write this down or try to memorize it. Every person has to rise above the pain of their past to reach their God-given destiny. Every person has to. Let me read it again. Every person has to rise above the pain of their past to reach their God-given destiny. What caused David's pain is that he wouldn't face it. He sat silently while his family melted down around him. Maybe he thought, well, the situation will fix itself. Maybe the problem will fix itself. No, a lot of times when there's a problem in the family, it must be addressed. It's got to be addressed. It has to be brought up. You have to talk about it. He sat silently and did nothing about it. He had people around him who could help him, but he wouldn't talk. How many's ever been there? I've sat silently. We talked about it earlier. Y'all was talking about pride. And pride will really keep a person not talking about their problems. Because I'm telling you, when you start talking about your problems, that's when you're being vulnerable. And that's when you're being transparent. And that's when you give a part of yourself, oh man. You know, you remember what C.S. Lewis said? He said, to love is to be vulnerable. And you're going to have to make yourself vulnerable if you're going to show the love of God like you need to. But David had people around him who could help him, but he wouldn't talk. I've been there. You've been there. We've all been there. And listen, there is no such thing as a strong, silent type. There's the weak, silent type. You got to be willing to open up and talk about these issues and problems that may be in your life, as such as your past. Strong people talk about it and they get it out and they deal with it. Look at your neighbor and say, deal with it. You got to face it. You got to talk about it. You got to move on, right? Everybody smile. You got to deal with these things, right? And to overcome the pain of your past and talk about this. Listen, all of us have pain. Everyone has had painful things happen to them. Can I go through a few things this morning of what some kind of pain that people go through? Right? Rejection of their father and mother. A lot of us have experienced that. Abandonment. Your father left you or your mother left you. Pain. We've been rejected by the opposite sex. Your parents divorced, there's pain. Adultery, pain. Death of your parents or loved one prematurely, there's pain. There's abuse, verbal abuse, physical abuse, rejection by your brothers and sisters, rejection by your sister and brother, your siblings. Social rejection, you've been rejected socially. Failure in academics or athletics or business. Everyone has pain. And I believe that everyone that I'm talking to this morning is going through some severe pain. Some of you have been through church hurt. You've been hurt by a pastor. You might have been hurt by me. Sorry. I'm very sorry. I apologize. You may have been hurt by a pastor. You may have been hurt by someone in the church. You may have been, I don't know. But you must deal with the pain and the hurt in a healthy way. Because if you hold it in and you don't pray about it and deal with it, and if you just sit silently about it and pretend like everything's okay, you're headed down the road of destruction. You can't pretend that everything is okay. You can't pretend that you don't have problems and issues that you got to work on. Listen, if you got problems and issues that you're afraid of opening up about, listen, the devil will give you shame. And that's the reason why people don't open up about these things, because he wants to keep you in shame. And if he can keep you in shame, then you can't open up about the problem. And you can't open up about the issue. And this morning, I know that a lot of us are dealing with pain. And today is the day that you can get the pain out. Today is the day that you can go to God and say, God, I need help with this pain that I have in my heart. I need help with this pain. There's my past. I have so much pain in my life. I don't know how I'm going to overcome it. I could tell you how to overcome it this morning. Number one, give it to God, right? We give it to God, but you can't give it to God if you don't talk about it. You got to pour out your soul. You can't just sit silently the rest of your life, and you know it's a problem, you know it's an issue, but you're not going to talk about it. You're not going to get healing. Confess your faults to one another. that you may be, what was it? That you may be healed. So there has to be a confession. Guys, listen, when you have a problem, we as brothers and sisters in the Lord, if we're having an issue, a problem, whatever it may be, if it's a bad problem that nobody wants to talk about, listen, you need to be able to talk to your brother or sister in the Lord with transparency and knowing that you're not going to get judgment placed down on you. And that's the reason why people don't open up about the problems that they have, because there's shame involved around it. And there's guilt involved. And if there's guilt and shame around it, then I can't open up and talk about it. But if I can open up and talk about it, that's when the healing takes place. This is why we have an altar call. This is why we have counseling. This is why we have these things. So people can open up and receive healing. Here's some wrong ways to deal with pain. Y'all ready? We medicate it. Alcohol. Food. You didn't think I was going to throw that one in there, did you? Food. We try to medicate our pain with food. We try to medicate our pain with alcohol. We try to medicate it with sex. We try to medicate it with gambling. We try to medicate it with all kinds of stuff. David and his family at this time, they were full of medicators. When you have pain and you haven't dealt with that pain properly, substances become a way to deal, to medicate that pain. In our society, listen, our society is full of devastated people who have been hurt so bad and they're still bleeding. Scars from their past. They're hurt. And we think that we can bring people into the house of God by shaming them and making them feel guilty. You can't save guilty people with guilt. And you can't shame, listen, you can't win people to the Lord by shaming them. When is church people going to understand this? When are we going to understand that you can't guilt trip people? And you can't shame them. And you can't hold a gavel in your hand and say, I'm right about everything. And I'm over you and I'm holier than you. Get off your high horse. My word. Man, I think you're better than any somebody else. Man, these Pharisees and Sadducees. Listen, no wonder they're medicating themselves, because church people make it impossible for them to get into the house of God. But I'm preaching to Jesus who will love you during your addiction. And I preach a Jesus who will love you through your mess, in your mess. And he don't expect you to clean up your mess before you get to him. He will clean you up. Well, Pastor, I fell back into it. Just keep pursuing God. He loves you. He loves you. And some of us, we go through these things. Don't shame people and don't guilt them. People already know they're doing wrong. They already know they're doing sin. You know, some people tell me, preacher, you're giving people a license to sin. They don't need a license to sin. They don't need a license. It's very easy for people to sin and disobey God because they're ruled by the senses of their soul and their flesh. But if they understand the outstanding, immeasurable, incredible grace and mercy of God, that is when addictions are broken. That is when people don't have to medicate their pain anymore. Is that Jesus is the cure and the medication. We need a church that will love the socks off people, that'll love them so much they'll say, praise God, I needed this. I needed love. I needed mercy. Hallelujah. Listen, if we preachers preach shame and guilt all the time, they're not going to get free. Hallelujah. Amen. Somebody say, show love. It's all about love and mercy and grace. You can't get saved without grace. Amen? So the issue here, listen, the issue is never alcohol. Y'all with me? The issue is never drugs. It's never food. It's never pornography. It's never gambling. The issue is pain. Because everybody has pain, and they're going through pain. And what we don't get sometimes, we preach so hard that we preach again, you shouldn't do this, you shouldn't do that. Hey, you dummy, they're going through pain. These people are wounded. They need Jesus. Yeah. Hallelujah. They need Jesus. These people are hurting inside. And here we are. You need to do this. You need to do that. You need rules and you need regulations. Why ain't you doing what I want you to do? Why ain't you? Listen, they're going through pain. They need love and lots of love and lots of love and lots of love and lots of grace and mercy. They need that. And we wonder why. Why ain't there people coming to the house of God? Why ain't people getting saved? It's because you're preaching legalism and not the true gospel of grace, which can save to the uttermost and to the guttermost. Hallelujah. It's about saving people. Amen. And it's about seeing the God-given destiny in their life. You can, I've got good news for you. You can overcome the pain of your past. And you don't have to medicate it. Because Jesus is the cure. Amen. Hallelujah. How are you going to deal with the emptiness and pain in your life? Just the other day, or yesterday actually, I read where the National Guard was sent to Huntington, West Virginia, because the epidemic is got out of control, the drug epidemic. They had to send, listen guys, they had to send the National Guard. Guys, listen, the issue here, our society is devastated with pain. And the only way that people can be healed of pain is for somebody to come in and say, I love you. I'm going to tell you the truth. Listen, some of us, we tell all truth and there's no love with it. And we put the cart before the horse. Hallelujah, you can't go nowhere that way. And what happens is, they need to hear what I have to say. They need to hear what I have to say. They don't care what you have to say unless they know you care. Listen, you could tell them all truth and have no love. They say, all those people want to do, they just want to be heard. They just want to tell me how bad I am. They just want to, if you'll show them some love, they won't say that about you. Everybody say love. Love, love precedes truth. Love precedes truth. Love precedes truth. Because without love, there's no door open for the truth to be preached. You got to show love. You got to show them mercy. You got to show them grace. I can't believe that person just walked in the doors of the church. I can't believe that. What are they doing here? They haven't been here in 2 weeks. I know you thought it. That person hasn't been in 3 weeks. That person hasn't been here in a month. Quit focusing on how bad or good people are. We are all coming to a safe haven. I'm a beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. Come to the house of God. I know you're sinning. I know you're committing adultery. I know you're living in sin. But I'm going to love you, and I'm going to pray for you, and I'm going to receive you with wide open arms and say that God loves you unconditionally. Hallelujah. I don't care if they're stuck on meth and they're scratching themselves all over. I'm going to give them the gospel. I'm going to show them some love. We can't medicate it. It'll work just for a little while, but it's not permanent. And some of us, we try to stay busy. We get busy and we work ourselves to death. Solomon did this. And sometimes it's hard to be alone with our thoughts. And we can't be alone with our thoughts because the ghost of our past will show up and remind us. Guys, that shame, that's the devil. And we can't be alone and we can't meditate. And we always have to have the TV running. And we have to have the dishwasher running. There's got to be some noise in here because I can't stand it to be quiet. Because if it's quiet and I'm just by myself and I'm alone, then my past will start to haunt me. And I have to deal with that and deal with that, and I can't deal. Listen, you've got to be able not to work yourself to death and stay busy all the time and get some margin in your life and take some rest. Rest and get alone with God. See, Solomon, listen here. The Bible is full of some bad stuff, okay? Bad people, all right? Y'all didn't know this, did you? Now you do. See, Solomon was the child of David and Bathsheba. Solomon was a walking scandal in that day. Solomon, listen, his sister was Tamar. Y'all remember me talking about Tamar? And David did a poor job setting up Solomon as king. And Solomon worked like crazy. And if you read the book of Ecclesiastes, he was the richest man in the world. And you know what he said? He had everything. He owned everything, all the possessions. He had everything. And you know what he said in that first chapter? It's all vain. It's all empty. All the houses, right? All the cars, all the money, all the possessions. He said, without God, it's an empty life. And some people, they got to have this stuff. Listen, he was driven. He wasn't diligent. He was driven. Listen, he didn't talk. And finally he said, it's about keeping the commandments of God. Listen, there's a difference between diligence and driven. Diligence means you've done your best and you stop. Driven means you do your best and you just keep on going. And you don't rest. Because there's something there. You're seeking some kind of unhealthy approval. Y'all still with me this morning? I said, are y'all still with me? And listen, we need to be able to sit quietly and meditate. You remember when in Luke chapter 10 when Mary and Martha was in the kitchen and Mary was at the feet of Jesus and Martha was upset because Mary wasn't helping her clean the kitchen and get the food ready for Jesus? Y'all remember that scripture? Some of us have a Martha spirit. And we're not willing to sit at the feet of Jesus and rest. And we're always going. All we've got to have noise. We always got to be going. It's because, guys, we haven't dealt with the pain of our past. You can become a workaholic. You can become a workaholic. You got to be careful about that. What if God wants you to sit down and you to ask him to help you deal with the pain in your heart? Listen, the devil, I said it earlier, the devil puts shame around anything he wants to keep in darkness because if he could put shame on it, he knows you won't take it to God. See, guilt, and we taught some of this morning, guilt is something I feel bad over what I've done. But shame is when I let that become my identity. And some of us, we're saved. Most of us, if not all of us, are saved in here today, but we still deal with shame. And we still deal with pain, and we still deal with guilt. Let me tell you something. Jesus didn't just die for your sin. He died for your shame. He died for your guilt. Listen, he wants to take not just your sin away and give you his righteousness, but he wants to take away the shame and the guilt that comes along with sin. And some of us, we can't go forward into our God-given destiny because we don't understand that Jesus died for our shame. We don't have to be ashamed. And some of us, we just stew on the past, don't we? There's people that would just sit and stew on it. And they've been hurt. Some of them been hurt in church, and they stewed on it for 50 years. Not just church, but anything, guys. I'm not just talking about a context of a church, okay? Anything. And they'll sit on it, and they can't even forgive their sibling. They can't even forgive their... And they fight at their mom and dad's funeral. I'm preaching this morning. And they're fighting over stuff, and it doesn't make a lick of sense. There's no love. There's no grace. There's no mercy. And everybody's fighting over everything, and they're living like they're going to live here forever. I've got news for you. The average lifespan of a person is like 70. And we're living here like we're going to live here forever. Everybody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. That was bad news for some of you. Sorry. This is why you need to be saved. This is why you need a relationship with God. Right? And so some of us stew on anger. We stew on it, and we stew on bitterness, and we're so mad, and we're so hurt, and we got a lot of pain. See, Absalom stewed on his anger toward his brother Amnon, and he murdered him, and then he wanted to kill his father. But you know what? It goes right back to the parenting. David did not even mention it one time of what happened in the family. And you know what happened? Because David didn't address it as a father. He didn't address it. You know what happened? There was murder in the family. Murder. Y'all hear me? It was hate. This is why it's important to talk about this stuff. Your problems, listen, you got to be able to talk about these things. Take it to God, take it to each other, and say, hey, let's be honest about this. Let's pray. Amen, church. See, if you meditate on it and you stew on it, listen, it opens the door to demonic oppression. Now, I didn't say possession, oppression. If you stew on it, stew on it, stew on it, you open the door to the enemy, and man, he'll just beat you up with that. You stew on that, and you'll be in unforgiveness and bitterness, and you can't get over it. And that's where you got to get the understanding and the revelation. Man, I've got to forgive. I've got to release the pain. Every one of us have been through pain. Some of us are going through pain right now. But I'm here to tell you today, if you'll follow these principles that I'm about to give you, you can be delivered. You can be delivered. God will set you free. You know what you need to do? You need to face it. Don't pretend. Don't pretend like it's not there. Don't pretend like you don't have a problem. Be real. Look at your neighbor and say, be real. See, Paul was legalistic and mean. Paul had a lot of pain. Paul, in Galatians 1:13, he said, I persecuted the church. In the book of Acts, it says that he wreaked havoc on the church. He killed Christians, yet he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. What forgiveness. What forgiveness. See, Paul went through a lot of things. He could have been bound down by his past. But this man knew what the grace of God was. He knew what mercy was. Listen, greatness in God's kingdom is not how many great things you can do for God. It's about how many scars you allow him to redeem. We get this mentality that it's, how much can I do for God? You can't do enough for God, by the way. Greatness is about how you're letting God heal you of the wounds that you've received in your past. And you let God use the scars and the wounds that you've received, and you use it as a platform for your testimony and what God's done for you. And you go into the future and say, you know what? I got a scar, but I ain't bleeding no more. I've got a scar. I've been beat up. I've been hurt really bad. I've been wounded really bad. But God has healed me. Look at these scars. It is evidence that God is good. God is good. And through your pain, through your hurt, through your heartache, God will set you free. You love Jesus this morning? Listen, we've been redeemed from sexual sin. We've been redeemed from alcoholism. We've been redeemed from drug addiction. We've been redeemed from these things. We've been redeemed. We've been redeemed from personal problems. We've been redeemed from personal failures. Listen, guys, don't ever pretend you never have problems. Don't ever pretend that you don't go through stuff, that you don't have problems, and you're above everything and above everyone else. Don't ever do that. Or don't follow someone who thinks that. Listen, if you don't have any scars that's been healed or redeemed by Jesus, you can't help nobody. You can't help anybody. You got to go through some hurt. Did you ever think that the pain you go through and the hurt you go through is just a preparation for the testimony that you're going to give to other people to help them in their hurt and their pain? Somebody shout over that. The pain and the hurt, God is here to redeem. See, David sat and he pretended. David pretended like there was nothing wrong for 5 years. He didn't address it for 5 years, and he acted like there was nothing wrong. And you know what happened? His pain went to his children. And the children's pain, it started going down to each generation because David didn't deal with it. Y'all still with me this morning? You can be the end of pain in your family.
if you stand up and face it and let God deal with it. See, when you act like you got it together, you're just going to transfer that pain to your children. Y'all with me this morning? See, I'm preaching this morning so that we don't have to wear a theological mask all the time and act like, oh, I got it all together. Listen, you don't got it all together. That's why you're here. That's why you're here. And, so, and people say, I heard Marco say this last night. He's listening now. He said, I'm a mess. I'm a mess. And he said, I love my wife. And my wife loves me in my mess. And I thought, what a true example of the gospel. What a true example. And that God does not believe in that separation. Y'all with me? God believes in sticking together. Somebody shout, amen. Face it. Everybody say, face it. Amen. Then you got to forgive and forget it. Can I read you a scripture this morning? Of course I can. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Philippians chapter 3, verse 12. It says, not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. Everybody say, I press on. This is so good. That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended. In other words, he's saying, I'm not telling you I've arrived. That's what Paul said. I haven't arrived. I don't have it all together. I go through some problems and I'm not perfect, but one thing I do, I forget those things which are behind and I reach forward to those things which are ahead. Paul is saying, I'm not perfect. I don't have it all together. I have not apprehended. But there's one simple thing I do. I forget the pain of my, I forget my past. Y'all with me? And I press on. Listen. Somebody shout amen. Amen. Forget, when he says forget here, it doesn't mean to erase your memory, but it means not to let it have power over you. That's what that means. Glory to God. See, Paul had to remember what he did or he wouldn't have shared his testimony. That's how you have, in order for you to share your testimony, you have to remember your past. What he's saying is, brethren, I'm not perfect. I haven't arrived, but one thing I do, I don't let the past have power over me. That's what he's saying. Forgetting those things which are behind. Isn't that good? Forgive. Everybody say forgive. 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 I got to release the pain. I got to release the hurt. I got to release the wound. The wound. I got to let God redeem me. Right? Forgiveness. Everybody say forgive. In Matthew 18, I'm not going to read it. You read it when you get home. Jesus gives a parable of forgiveness. And the Bible says that the person, in that parable, it said that the person that did not forgive, it says that he was opened up to the tormentors. And that person that didn't forgive, he was in torment. I mean torment. And I'm here to tell you, some of you, I may be preaching to somebody here this morning, if there's an ounce of unforgiveness and bitterness in you, and you got an odd against somebody, you're in torment right now. So how do you know that? Because the Bible says so. And you're in torment right now. And God is saying right now, you don't have to be in torment. Let me love you. Let me love you. Listen, forgiveness is good for you. Listen, until you let the past die, it won't let your future live. Can I say that again? Until you let the past die, it won't let your future live. Listen, you got to forgive yourself. A lot of us, we can't even forgive ourselves. It goes back to the shame and guilt. There's people that's had abortion. Sexual sin, crime, felonies on the record, and it's brought them into shame and they're stuck in the pattern. What if we told them that it doesn't matter what they've done or who they are, that God's mercy and grace is there for them? It would change the world. Change the world. We need to quit rehashing the past. Forgiveness doesn't make them right, but it sets me free. Forgiveness doesn't make them right, but it sets me free. Y'all need to write that down. Remember that. You got to forgive. Forgive, forgive, forgive. See, some of us have been through pain. Because a while ago I was talking about our childhood, our family life. Guys, father pain is real. Father pain is real. Some of you, you need to forgive your father for what he did or didn't do. Maybe he didn't do the right things. Maybe he didn't do what he should have done, or you need to forgive your dad. Because some of you are still holding that this morning. You need to forgive them. It doesn't make them right. It just sets you free. It could be your mother. Guys, the dad, the father in the family is very important. Am I preaching to anyone here this morning? How the father treats the son or the daughter will be usually how the son or the daughter will look at God. Because if the father is absent, then they'll think God is absent. They turn into atheists. If their dad abuses them, they'll look at God as an abuser. Fathers, I'm preaching to you this morning, and I'm preaching to myself. Be there for your family. But if you had a dad that may not have did what he was supposed to do or didn't do, you got to forgive him. You cannot hold that against him. Because if you do, it won't let your future live. Amen, church? Amen. You got to forgive your brother and your sister in the Lord. Everybody say, face it. We got to forgive and forget it. Amen. We got to forgive and forget it. And then we got to follow Jesus away from our past. The Holy Spirit will lead us into all truth. Ask the Holy Spirit to teach you how to be a husband and a wife. See, what kind of pain do you have this morning? I know you got pain, but all of us deal with different kinds of pain. Is it father pain, mother pain, social pain? Listen, David made mistakes, and he wasn't a good father. He wasn't a good parent, but he took responsibility of his mistakes. He was a good sinner, but he was a good repenter. And this is why he said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David sinned a lot, guys. But David understood something. He understood grace and he understood mercy. And he took and he owned up to his mistakes. You got to own up to them. You got to face it. You got to face the pain and deal with it. Not in a wrong way, but deal with it the way the Bible says. Amen? See, David didn't blame anyone, and God didn't just forgive David, but used him in a powerful way. Some of you think, I could have had God's best, but it's too late now. Don't you listen to that stinking lie. I could have had God's best. I had my chance, but now it's over. Quit thinking like that. How many times I got to tell you, quit thinking like that. God has the best for you now. Now. You got a great future. God's got a great plan for you. Quit saying, I could have had God's best, or I could have had this done. I could have. Listen, you got to overcome the pain of your past. Some of us have been through bitter separation, bitter divorces, bitter things, but you can overcome it by forgiving them and moving on with your life and saying, God has a plan for me, and God forgives and God forgets, and we give him our issues and our problems. Amen, church. God forgives and forgets. And some of the areas where we have the deepest scars is where God uses us the most. See, when you've had pain, God can use you. God can use you. I'm preaching to you here this morning. I'm going to repeat this again. Greatness is not how much you can do for God, but it's how you let God redeem your wounds and your scars. And there's a lot of you in here, you're bleeding, you're painful, but you won't open up and you won't talk about it and you won't pray about it and you're acting like everything's okay. It's not okay. It's not. There's things in your life that you got to pray about. There's things you're not praying with your spouse. You're not praying with your children. You're not praying. You got to open up and say, God, there's something wrong. Lord, fix me. Because God's grace and forgiveness is here this morning. And I said all that to say this. Y'all ready? God loves you. And this is why you can approach the throne of grace with mercy and grace. Amen. Amen, church. Amen. Today, God's healing power is here today. The altar is open today, and I'm going to stand right here. I'm ready to pray for somebody. I'm ready to have a prayer meeting. And if you want healing in your mind, in your soul, or if you're just tormented and you want free from your past, come now as he sings. This altar is open. I want to pray with you, and I'm not going to leave the mic on either when I pray for you. Come. Don't be ashamed. That's what I was just preaching on, right? Don't be ashamed. Shame is what keeps you in darkness and keeps you in fear. The altar is open right now. I'm ready to pray for you because God has delivered me from pain. God, listen, this altar is open. Listen, God, can I preach? God delivered me from pornography. God delivered me from alcohol. God delivered me. God delivered me from legalism and Phariseeism. He delivered me from the curse of the law. I'm not a Pharisee anymore. I am a born-again believer in Christ Jesus. I was born to torment the devil, and so are you. This altar is open. I'm a beggar telling another beggar where I found bread. Come. Come. There's healing for you today. Hallelujah. There's healing. She's already received her healing. Another beggar.